It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host... Matthew Soce.
There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond.
Film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast, and it is also available on iTunes. Working the board... Man who just loves to play sound clips.
Yep.
And anytime you can mix film sociology with the guy who does play-by-play for the Florida Panthers hockey team, that's Kobe Slagle
that's
over there.
That's a good day. Hello.
A good day. How are you?
Very good.
And we might have some surprise guests along the way. You never know. But for now, I am joined by two wonderful ladies, two co-workers here at WFYI, Christina Ulin and Tracy Mitchell. Ladies.
Thanks for having us on today, Matt.
Thank you.
Now, thrilled to be here.
I can your delivery indicates that.
We're smiling.
You are. Keep smiling, because that's what friends are for. Another bad ballads from the 80s.
Awesome.
Now, we have a lot to talk about today, but...
I don't even know what we're talking about today.
Well, you're going to find out.
Okay.
That's why you're here, among other things. Have a sip of water. I will, too. We'll get to the new movies, and we'll get to the Academy Awards and the Razzies in a little bit. A little later on, we will have a continuing saga that is What Is Kobe Watching?
All right.
But I brought you ladies on for a couple reasons. One, I enjoy your company a great deal. And two, I wanted to get you some fair airtime here at WFY. Let me explain to the listeners, because none of you know the story.
Probably a good background.
Yes, I'll explain. Last week... During the show, you two ladies and a couple others were listening to the show, hanging out outside. And when the show was over, I came out of the studio. And you ladies, what I didn't realize, have a little ladies' night out. And I was asked by somebody who's not in studio. There were two films that this group was contemplating about watching. One was the
going to see,
and I was asked which is the better film. The choices were The Dilemma and Black Swan. I, of course, thinking of myself as a film critic and not one of the girls, chose Black Swan, which you four saw, and you're giving me the same look then now that you probably were back then.
Well, we started to text you from the movie theater with our.
Okay, first off, you're texting during a movie? That's no.
That's how offended
you're not allowed to do that.
Well, that's what we had reduced.
That's how you get. That's how you get thrown out of theaters. Don't do that. So I will say this, but in my defense, and then I will let you speak. I think a film that has the concept of Kevin James being with Winona Ryder and Vince Vaughn being with Jennifer Connelly is far more disturbing than anything Black Swan can offer you. Ladies, the floor
is
yours.
It's Slim Pickens out there, Matt.
It's a dead character actor. So go ahead, ladies. The mic is yours.
Well, let's start with the fact that I should have known, because you gave us your choice.
I did.
This was very similar to, if you play fantasy football, this was very similar to play him, sit him. Right?
Wow. Way to hit the fantasy football
right?
reference.
Right? Yeah. Matt chose to play Black Swan and sit the dilemma.
Well, yeah, because Black Swan's a better film.
Right. And because, Matt, you are our film guru.
Thank you.
We went with your sage advice.
We trusted.
Which I appreciate. And apparently it was the last recommendation I get from you for it's a doozy. So no, go on.
Well, so.
Much darker than you thought?
I don't even
slightly
know.
Disturbing. And then I
more
knew,
disturbing
I,
than
I
you
knew
thought.
Going into it that it would be disturbing knowing where Darren Aronofsky had been in the past.
Yes.
So I knew what I was walking into slightly.
You didn't tell
as
them?
A
she did.
Point.
She did warn us.
You did.
I warned her. Requiem for a Dream destroyed me for weeks at a time.
The wrestler, Pie,
the
fountain.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I felt I wasn't really susceptible to the psychological ramifications of such darkness.
You've never seen Requiem for a Dream, have you? Have you?
I'm quite resilient.
I understand that, but you have not seen Requiem for a Dream,
so
have you?
So I did preface it with, I'm not sure that maybe this is the film for the four of us.
And
oh, but our friend Matt said,
yeah,
this is the one we should.
It's a must.
I did. Made my top
And young
10.
Kobe Slagle was right there with him.
I witnessed the whole thing.
I do not deny. I do not deny at all.
Nope.
But apparently, just didn't mesh with dinner.
Well, yes.
We can start with the good. Natalie Portman. Beautiful, beautiful Natalie Portman.
I'm sorry. Academy Award nominated Natalie Portman.
Academy Award pregnant nominated Natalie Portman.
I'm sorry.
Portman.
Is there a pregnant category? I want to see that
now.
List.
Just get extra points.
Your dress options
are
just that much better.
So we do not deny the performance of Miss Portman.
Miss Mila Kunis, also a delight. She's a gorgeous young lady.
And it's nice to see her doing stuff outside of television.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe something not with Ashton Kutcher.
That's nice.
Right.
That's nice.
Right.
Barbara Hershey is everyone's favorite domineering mother. And don't you wish all dance directors look like Vincent Cassell?
I will give you that. I do enjoy him. Christina, maybe not so much.
Not
but
so much. But the whole how much of this is in her head and how much isn't, and well, you see a swan do unspeakable things.
Okay.
And skin
unspeakable.
And feathers sprouting and things.
But she does an amazing job as transforming herself into this ballerina. She actually, in my opinion, looked very unattractive for Natalie Portman. I find her to be a very attractive young lady, but in this film, she really took on that gaunt ballerina look.
Starving herself to be.
She played it well.
The recycling world of dance, especially in ballet. When you have old Winona Ryder in a wheelchair, you get a new Natalie Portman, and somebody's right behind Portman, waiting for her shot.
Would you agree, or what would you take issue with the statement that there were many scenes in the movie which did not advance the storyline?
Such as?
Such as the gratuitous sensual scenes.
Are you talking about the scene in the bedroom and then the cab?
Yeah. Well, the cab didn't bother me as much as the bedroom.
Mostly the bedroom.
Mostly, yeah.
Are we talking the scene where she looks over and there's Barbara Hershey? Or the other?
Oh, that one was disturbing too, but it was so overshadowed by the next one?
I see. Okay, that one. The one. Okay, well, that part of it is you're supposed to ask yourself throughout the film, how much of this is in her head or how much of this is really happening? And I don't think you really get a clear answer until the very end.
I don't think I could even get to that point of analysis from the shaky camera and the fuzzy lens and the...
So now that I've told you this, I think you should go watch it again. I'm kidding. I'm getting daggers.
I had to watch most of it.
I'm getting sitcom wife look now.
I did the thing where you put your hand up to the screen so you can't really see what's happening. So.
And when did you do that? Not during the scenes you just mentioned?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And then there was another one, too, that was more gory, I think, that I couldn't take.
Yes.
Maybe in the dressing room?
Indeed.
No, the hospital room.
Yes. Okay, so... For those who haven't seen this, you're doing great listening. okay, so
puncturing of flesh in any capacity in a film
totally agree.
Is again disturbing.
Of course. But so that being said, what'd you have for dinner that night?
We went for a little stir crazy on the south side. We do our commerce on the south side from time to time.
I see. So that being said, it kind of put a damper on dinner.
Well, we had these sort of furrowed brows the whole time, and it was awkward. Because you couldn't really, there wasn't much to say about the movie past. Oh, my.
And you could have called. Texted, but not during the movie. Don't do
that. Yeah, a lot of the conversation centered around the conversation we were going to have with you.
Well, okay. So there you go. Now, as a footnote, on top of all this, what was the last film you ladies saw as a group?
Oh, now, come on, Matt.
It was a choice that we made the day before Thanksgiving, I believe. Christina, which, correct me if I'm wrong.
Which I had nothing to do with.
Not,
y'all
not
picked this on your
thing.
Own.
We right. went with the
That's
Love and Other Drugs.
The expert.
Love and Other Drugs featuring the lovely, lovely Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes.
Always easy on the eyes for the ladies.
And for the men.
Miss Anne Hathaway.
Which you, and by the way, that was the romantic comedy of the year. Because you have a film in which two people who are really not nice people at all actually find a way of connecting. And that's a breath of fresh air as opposed to most of the romantic comedies in which you're supposed to like the characters, but what they do is absolutely detestable, i.e. anything with Kate Hudson. So so yeah, it's a rom-com with a lot of blue pills involved, I guess.
Exactly. So I think if we had, it's really hard to compare. It's like apples and oranges.
Naked apples and oranges.
Right. But I didn't have to watch most of that film through the back of my hand. So.
Ah, so Christina, we should work on the Christina hand grade scale.
Exactly.
I looked through two fingers, exactly. Three fingers, four fingers.
Right.
I love two fingers of scotch. Hi, Jim. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a little bit. So, well, ladies, there you go. You got to speak gracefully of your events from last week. And
can we check the Facebook and see if anyone is weighing in on this?
Well, as soon as Kobe's
I'm on it.
He's on it. That's okay. Why he's over there. So
great.
We'll get to that. So, yes, of course. Jim Arnold, come have a seat, sir. I told you we were going to have a surprise guest, and he is here. It's Jim Arnold, who's the owner of Conn's Fine Wines. Here to besides returning, which is nice to have him back here, but, of course, Indie Wine Fest is next weekend, a week from tonight. Upstairs downtown at the
Indiana
Roof Ballroom. So gonna be a lot of fun. Jim, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good, hanging in there. We just movie chat with my coworkers today before you got here.
Well, this is a big time of year for your show.
It is,
with the Oscars
it is.
Coming up.
Now right. Yes, actually, yeah, the nominations did come out. We'll get to those in a little second, but before I steer from the ladies, the sisterhood, just out of curiosity, as a group, you didn't see The Bounty Hunter, Last Airbender, Sex and the City 2, Twilight, or Vampires Suck, right?
Twilight.
Well, we'll get to the Razzie nominations. We'll get to the Razzie nominations a little later on. But, yeah.
That was a big hit. It had to be good.
Yeah, if you're under the age of 13. Or, oh, hello. So, yeah, Tuesday morning, they announced the Academy Award nominees. And this is the second year in a row in which 10 films are up for Best Picture, or as I like to use the equivalent, this is the movie version of everybody gets a trophy and their own juice box at the soccer tournament. Yeah, I want to make sure everybody feels good about themselves. And I will say the 10 that came up for Best Picture this year, a little more cohesive than last year. Oh, look, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, which I, of course, dubbed the family film of the year. That's in finger quotes. The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, my top film of last year, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. Christina, how many have you seen? Because your fingers are moving.
Dose.
Two. Which two?
I saw True Grit and Inception.
Okay. Well, you have plenty to catch up with.
Right. I do. But it's great.
That's why we have this.
Gives me a Netflix queue.
So, Tracy?
I'm sitting there right with Christina.
I'm sorry, you saw three because you did have to sit.
Black Swan.
Black Swan.
You did sit.
She won't even count it. I won't even count it.
Okay, so three, 2.5 years.
Does
I'm sorry,
love
Tristan.
It that much?
No.
Oh wait.
I won't go back.
We'll get to that. So yes, Tracy.
I'm sitting with Christina. Inception, Black Swan, and
did you see True Grit?
And True Grit.
True Grit.
One of my favorites of the year, obviously.
Which Kobe actually saw in a theater, which is a major achievement.
Yep. It's a miracle. The man actually went out and spent money on movie
at night.
At night.
At night. Full price.
There you go.
Full price.
Didn't do popcorn or nothing, but it was a big
day. We've committed ourselves to watching all 10 Best Picture films prior to the Academy Awards.
Well, see, 1, 2, 3, 4 are on DVD, and the rest are still in theaters.
What was that last one? Winter's Fork?
Winter's Bone.
Oh, okay.
Winter's Bone. The Ozark noir film that's really, really well done. And hopefully get a member. Jim, any of these titles ring a bell for you?
Yeah.
You've been very busy.
Actually,
I know.
I saw Inception and I saw True Grit with John Wayne. Or no.
Wow. These are the 2010 ones, not the 1969 ones.
He's just using his time efficiently.
I know. We'll talk about Midnight Cowboy a little later on, that's right. And
I've been building
days.
Stores. You know?
I know you have. That's all right.
Busy supporting WFYI. What can you do?
He saw a film in which the title was similar to another film. So that's okay, so we'll move on to Best Actor. We have Javier Bardem for Beautiful, Jeff Bridges in True Grit. Jim, they remade it. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, and James Franco, who is also co-hosting the Academy Awards with your girl, Anne Hathaway. James Franco is up for 127 hours. And good list, very good list. Some would say... I'm not, probably, although full disclosure, I have not seen Beautiful yet. But you could also have an argument for Ryan Gosling for Blue Valentine and for some Aaron Eckhart in Rabbit Hole. Ladies, not something either for one, not to watch with a group of ladies.
Watch through the back of the hand.
Five fingers. One's about a couple dealing with the death of their child. Ooh. And the other is a marriage falling apart. I don't know if that's up for
films.
The ladies. Yeah.
Yeah, the death of the child one I heard was a real feel good movie.
Rabbit Hole. Yeah, it is. But so yeah.
That one's Rabbit Hole?
Yes, that's okay. Rabbit Hole, which has Nicole Kidman, who's nominated in her about time. Up for leading actress, we have Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Christina, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. So that's a lofty five. And I think there's been talk because of Hailee Steinfeld, the girl from True Grit. A lot of people ask, why was she not put in the best leading actress category? Well, this list pretty much kind of sums it up. She's gonna have a better shot in the supporting category than she will in the lead.
She's got plenty of years to be in the leading category.
She is, and she's now a footnote, so she can be with Kramer versus Kramer's Meryl Streep and The Silence of the Lambs, Anthony Hopkins about... How much is screen time and how much is it effect and all that sort of
incredible
thing.
Incredible performance either way.
Exactly. And so, no, this is a solid five. I think Portman's probably the front runner. I think Colin Firth is the front runner for Best Actor in The King's Speech. Okay, Best Supporting Actor is Christian Bale in The Fighter and everybody else. You also have John Hawkes for Winter's Bone, Jeremy Renner for The Town, Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right, Jeffrey Rush in The King's Speech. Of course, Rush has won before. Renner was nominated last year. I think this is Ruffalo's first, but I think it's Christian Bale's year regardless. So,
Well, and after his ridiculous speech at the Golden Globes, how do you not?
Is it better than his on-studio rant of T3, Terminator, Salvation?
It's right up there for me.
Really?
Right up there.
Less cursing, I bet, because it was televised.
Exactly, but it's still dubbed over a little bit there in the broadcast.
Really?
Yes. If you had an opportunity to see it, it was a lovely cut off of the music and the microphone.
Oh gosh. Okay, supporting actress. We have Amy Adams for The Fighter, and don't you wish all Massachusetts barmaids look like Amy Adams? Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech. Melissa Leo is the mother in The Fighter. Hailee Steinfeld in True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. And I'm really stoked Jackie Weaver got nominated. Animal Kingdom is the, for lack of better comparison, is the Australian Goodfellas. It's a crime drama, and Jackie Weaver plays the matriarch of the house that is really unnerving. We're talking Angela Lansbury in The Manchurian Candidate unnerving. And if you know that title, you know exactly what it is. But I think, I think Hailee Steinfeld is probably the front runner on this one because she held her own with Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon and Josh Brolin. And not nearly as irritating as Kim Darby in the original version of True Grit. I'm sorry, she just is. So, yeah. Or True Grit, or as I also like to call the film, No Country for 14-Year-Old Girls. That's a lot for her to carry. So, all right. Also up for director, Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, Mark Russell for The Fighter, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, David Fincher for Social Network, and the Coen brothers for True Grit. I have no idea where it could go. So we will see about that. Any other categories you're curious about, gang? By the way, there's only yeah, dead air is not good.
Cinematography.
Cinematography.
Gotta be Inception.
Black Swan, Inception, The King's Speech, Social Network, and True Grit. And Roger Deakins has always done all the Coen Brothers films, and he's a master cinematographer. Inception's also a great possibility. We'll see. We will see about that. This year, only three films are up for animated feature: How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. Even though Toy Story 3 is already up for Best Picture, which means it's not going to win Best Picture, probably going to win Best Animated Feature. So there is that. Yes, my daughter is still wondering where is Tangled. Well, it's one of the four original songs, none of which we can hum if you gave us $1 million.
I bet Kobe could do it.
No, you couldn't.
I can't do it.
No.
I've not seen the movie.
You've not seen you don't remember the songs from Toy Story 3, 127 Hours, Tangled, and Country Strong?
I do not.
Why
I love
would you?
Country Strong.
You loved it?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I like the music.
And the weird movie where Tim McGraw is the only one who doesn't sing.
And she does not like music in entertainment.
I don't even like music in my entertainment.
What?
I really like this.
It's a lot of story. There's a lot of story going on there.
That's what I like.
A lot of story?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll give you Love Actually and the last song. There's a lot of story in those, too.
And nobody's sprouting feathers.
Okay, it's not the black chicken. It's the black swan.
Well, yeah,
want to notice, everybody in here, she did the chicken dance sitting down as opposed to a swan. I'm not going to ask you to recreate that.
Okay.
No, not at all. So, all right. So the Academy Awards are February 27th. I'm sure we'll be doing our picks when it gets a little closer to time. We're going to take a short break, and we're talking about what is new in theaters and chat some more. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show where you hear music from Blackula during the break.
I like that song.
I do, too. That's why I picked it. Yes, it's WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Jim Arnold of Cons Fine Wines is hanging out with me. Christina Yulin and Tracy Mitchell are hanging out as well. Before we get to what's new in movies, also, the day before the Academy Award nominations come out, the Razzie Awards come out. These are...
Wah, wah, wah.
Thank you. Wow.
That was good.
Hopefully we won't need that during Pledge. So we'll quickly go through these and then we'll move on. As I mentioned earlier, up for Worst Picture, The Bounty Hunter, The Last Airbender, Sex and the City 2, Twilight, Eclipse, and Vampires Suck. And I saw all five of these things.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Do they all qualify for the list?
Some more than others. Yeah.
I heard Sex and the City 2 was really inspiring.
Yeah, more Cosmos. Worst actor, Jack Black for Gulliver's Travels.
All right.
Gerard Butler for The Bounty Hunter. Ashton Kutcher for Killers and Valentine's Day. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Awesome.
Tyler Lautner for Twilight, Eclipse, and Valentine's Day. And Robert Pattinson for Remember Me and Twilight Eclipse.
A double nomination.
This is the Razzies. They can throw whatever the hell they want.
Impressive.
In there.
Yeah. Impressive.
For instance, worst actress Jennifer Aniston for The Bounty Hunter and The
All
Switch,
right.
Miley Cyrus for The Last Song,
yeah.
Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall, Kristen Davis, and Cynthia Nixon all for Sex and the City 2. Megan Fox for Jonah Hex. And Kristen Stewart for biting your lip for the third film in a row. So, for instance, if they tag on, in the worst supporting actress category, Jessica Alba's in for 4 films. The Killer Inside Me, Little Fockers, Machete, and Valentine's Day. It's their award show. They can do whatever they want.
We love them for it.
Yeah. Also this year, new category, worst eye gouging misuse of 3D.
Ooh.
Cats and Dogs 2, Clash of the Titans, The Last Airbender, and The Nutcracker in 3D, and Saw 3D, which is out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Aren't you thrilled?
Man.
Yeah.
Saw 3D, that would be pretty funny.
We stop at your place first. All right, new in theaters this week, besides all the Oscar stuff, because guess what? There's going to be a boost in Oscar movie attendance over the next couple of weeks, which is fine. I'm all for that. And some of these films will actually wind up in places like Indianapolis and other smaller towns. But opening in theaters nationwide is The Mechanic. And this stars Jason Statham and Ben Foster. And this is a remake of the 1972 Charles Bronson film with Charles Bronson and Jan Michael Vincent. Yeah, I don't quite remember when it came out, but I saw it soon after. And it's about a hitman who takes on an apprentice only because he killed the apprentice's dad, and the son doesn't know about it. Here's some audio.
What I do requires a certain mindset. I do assignments, designated targets. Some jobs need to look like accidents. Best jobs are the ones nobody ever knows you are there.
No, I'm better than you, you know. You're a damn machine. You need someone to watch your back.
This wouldn't be about Steven, would it? He's your son.
Damn disappointment. Always has been, always will be.
Harry McKenna sold this company out.
It must be a mistake.
You know how this company works, Mr. Bishop. He had to be removed.
Sorry about your father.
It was a loss for both of us.
I want to know what you know. Go online. It's all on the internet. But I don't want to read it. I want to do it. Follow me. You know what a mechanic is? A hitman. Time to take your training to the next level. So what's the plan now? Time to finish the job. Impressive, huh?
Those were my best teams. Guess I'll have to send more.
Save the fuel. We're coming for you.
You think you can get to me before I get to you?
I already have. Do it.
Kobe said during
Yeehaw.
Rock music and gun noises. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to have a confession as far as the review of this film. I let me pull up my old film critic black socks and tell you kids to get the hell off my lawn. I made the error Monday night of watching the original Charles Bronson version of this film before going to the original, which, yeah, Tracy's already shaking her head at me. Yeah, it's going to kind of cloud my judgment a little bit about the remake itself. Or as our friend Gina Wagner went, oh, great, a remake of a film that I didn't know was a remake to begin with. I'm going to make you watch some Charles Bronson sometime, sir. Not this week, but we'll get to it.
Okay.
We'll get to it. What's interesting about The Mechanic, the remake, the Jason Statham. And Jason Statham is actually one of the better action guys out there. He actually can form a sentence.
What else was he in?
Crank, The Transporter.
Okay.
Yes, that guy, the English guy. The Italian Job, The Bank Job, other movies with Job in the title. He was also, I think, the
young... Things are being blown up.
That's right. He was also, I think, the youngest of the Expendables, which I, of course, recommended last year for you fun folks out there. And so he's actually one of the better stars out there. And he's usually, he knows his range when it comes to doing action movies, and that's fine. The thing about the remake of The Mechanic was I was impressed because this doesn't happen too often. It's a film that not only makes it more complex than it needs to be, but also dumbs it down at the same time. It takes a lot of skill, I think, to do both of those, let alone one. The 1972 version, and it's from the 70s, Kobe, stay with me. Smart guy.
Things were different.
Yeah, things were a lot different. But the Charles Bronson version is very easygoing, lightweight, B-movie, really well done, simple executions. These are a lot more elaborate for the kids today with the energy drinks and the Snooki.
The Snooki? Now she gets the in front of her
name? I'm old. If I don't understand it, I just put a the in front of it.
The internets.
The Pearl Jam. So anyway, so there's all these elaborate hit jobs, and also the fact that, yeah, Ben Foster, who we know from 310 to Yuma and Pandorum and The Messenger from last year, is the hotshot who doesn't follow the rules, if this were a cop film, but he doesn't follow rules as an assassin either. And
are there lots of rules?
Apparently, if you listen to Jason, by the way, voiceover in this film, not needed at all. Well, actually, 90% of the voiceovers in movies, not needed at all. So that being said, it's there's a lot of whiz-bang shooting. And the other thing about the action itself, because, you know, last year, my four favorite action movies were, stay with me, Jim, Red, The Expendables, Machete, and Kick-Ass. All share one thing in common, all ridiculous over-the-top action, and everybody involved knows it. This one is not over-the-top enough for me. There's a couple moments. In fact, somebody gets hit in the head with a car. Let's put it that way. But not nearly as...
Happens all the time.
Don't you hate when that happens? Darn roundabouts.
Hey, you leave the north side out of this.
Hell,
a little social commentary provided by Tracy Mitchell, everybody.
but no, there is action, but it's not ridiculous enough for me. But then on the flip side, the film is not grim enough for me as well. So,
did they keep story? Was the story?
The story's pretty much the same. Christina, we don't do thumbs because I don't want to give Roger Ebert money.
I was going to say that's why I only mimicked.
Yeah, but no, you can't do that either. If you mimic, by the way, you can see him Saturdays at 6 on Channel 20 here on WFYI.
Right.
Roger Ebert back on television. So, no, it does follow it, but it tries to make it more complex when it could have been streamlined a little more, and I think it would have been easier going. So I guess that being said, yeah, and again, put an asterisk by it like Barry Bonds for what this review is worth.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, thank you, Christopher Lloyd, for that comment there. So, again, that's something you won't see on the poster or the advertising. All right, a couple other film notes around Indianapolis. If you don't have plans tonight, and it's okay if you don't, even though it is Indianapolis, 7 o'clock at the IMA at the Toby Theater is part of their winter film series. They're doing film noir, and it's a really, really cool cop film from 1948, directed by Akira Kurosawa, one of my favorites. And it's Stray Dog, and it stars Toshirô Mifune, whose films you need to see very soon, Mr. Slagle.
Yeah.
You don't have subtitle issues, do you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah, I don't know if I have subtitle issues.
We're going to find out real soon.
Okay.
But it's set in Japan in the late 40s, and he plays a police officer who loses his gun and spends the entire time trying to find it, but it's much more complex in a good way. And not dumbed down.
Is there an actual dog or just the gun?
No, it's just the gun itself.
Oh, okay.
But there are dogs. It is Japan in the 40s. Mm. So, anyway, that is tonight at 7 o'clock at the Toby. I know she's asking. It's okay. And then at the Buskirk Chumley Theater in Indianapolis, or Bloomington, I should say. Sorry, this is going on this weekend. It is the 2011 Pride LGBTQ Film Festival. You can go to pridefilmfestival.org for screenings and times. So go check that out if you are down in the University of Indianapolis, or IU.
That's somebody's Indiana University.
Yeah, that's true. Indiana University. Somebody, you know, because, you know, Tommy Wiseau referred to Bloomington as the Indiana University. Mm. Not the Ball State University. And U of I, yes, that's the South Side.
That is.
South Side!
There are no roundabouts on the South Side.
Like I said, let's leave the North Side out of this.
We will leave the North Side out of this. All right. Man, what else is there? Oh, by the way, Anthony Hopkins has a movie out in January again called The Right. It's R-I-T-E. That's all.
I don't want to see it.
Oh, we've seen trailers for that.
Yes. Oh, that's right, because you're Mr. Not Scary Movie Guy.
That is correct.
Or Freaky Stuff.
Yep.
Which we'll get to in a little bit.
Got that right.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available on iTunes, and it's also available as a podcast on Monday.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. Before we get to DVD and Blu-ray, there's one other thing happening around town this weekend at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. There is an evening of Shorts in January, a back-to-back screening of four films from three Indiana-based filmmakers, presented by Three Wise Men Productions. That's the numeral 3, WIZEMEN Productions. And that's going on. You can go through threewisemenproductions.com for more information. So Jim Arnold of Cannes Fine Wines and Spirits is hanging out with us because Winefest is next week.
Woo!
I'll be there as soon as this show is over next week. And Christina Yulin and Tracy Mitchell, two very patient ladies not named Lim or Emma, are hanging out with me in studio.
I remember you were into the tasting last year.
Wow.
You were prime.
I was
in a hockey jersey.
In his hockey jersey.
I was, you know why? It was because it was Friday Pride. It was Blue Pride, Colts Pride.
Right. True.
I don't have a Colts jersey. I wore my Charlestown Chiefs jersey from Slapshot, the greatest hockey movie ever made.
That's right.
That's right.
Great movie.
And by the way, I tasted after I was off duty officially. All right.
It's a story and
kinda.
Sticking to it.
Thank you,
kinda.
Tracy. Kind of, sort of. All right. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week, I alluded to the 2010 being the year of the ridiculous action film, and, well, one of them is out on Blu-ray and DVD this week. It's Red, the film that has four Oscar winners in it. Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman, Richard Dreyfuss, and Ernest Borgnine. And, of course, Bruce Willis and Carl Urban, for you fans of Star Trek. And Mary Louise Parker, who's not old, but she's involved in the film somehow. And it's a bunch of old CIA assassins who have become the targets. Because don't you hate when that happens, when you're the hitman or hit lady and then you become the target? Because it's the circle.
Ernest Borgnine?
Ernest Borgnine. Ernest Borgnine is 90. No, no. 94 years old and still working. So here's some audio.
Don't make any sudden moves. Don't talk about satellites.
Seriously?
Why are you trying to kill me?
Why would I be trying to kill you?
Because the last time we met, I tried to kill you.
That was a long time ago.
Some people hold on to things like that.
They used to be the CIA's top agents.
Victoria, best wet work asset in the business.
What? What's that? I kill people, dear.
But the secrets they know...
This is off the books. Total blackout.
...just made them the agency's top targets.
Tell me everything you know.
Some thumbsucker tagged them red.
Red?
Retired, extremely dangerous.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
We're going to break into the CIA and find out who's trying to kill us.
We're getting the band back together.
I put a few things away, just in case.
I am excited.
What do you suppose the punishment is for what we're doing here?
Death.
Awesome. I thought it might be nice to have a bit of girl time together.
You can't touch me.
Of course we can.
That's right, old man.
Old man? No respect.
Old man, my...
Red.
Yes, old people can have trailers with rock music and guns shooting off as well.
Experienced actors.
Experienced actors. And that part of it, that helps.
Yeah.
There's also been, I think of the last two action films that Liam Neeson has starred in. When you actually have a good actor as opposed to a monosyllabic knuckle dragger or most of the Expendables, am I wrong?
The thing about Matt Soucy is he pulls punches.
What do you really think about it?
Oh, okay. If Seagal and Jean-Claude starred in Red, would you care?
No.
Exactly. But we have apparently Tracy's guy, Bruce Willis. Wow. And Morgan Freeman and John Malkovich and Academy Award winning Dame Helen Mirren along for the ride. And it's a lot of fun. And part of it is I love, obviously, when classically trained actors like Dame Helen Mirren are able to do, I don't know, either action or sci-fi.
Ridiculousness.
Exactly.
I love it.
So, and the fact is they're trained enough and they're experienced enough actors that, yes, they can do this without a wink, although Bruce has been known to wink at the camera every now and then. Not in this one. Although he comes out of the cop car really cool-like. Cool-like.
How's Malkovich in it?
Malkovich,
like
you know what? It's good to see Malkovich again. I mean, he kind of resurfaced because, I mean, the guy works constantly, and a lot of it is kind of forgettable material.
Is he a good guy or bad guy in it?
No, he's a good guy. He's the little conspiracy crazy.
Isn't he in every film, though?
Not in Secretariat. I take that back, but we'll get to that in a little bit. I think he returned to rare form in Burn After Reading, the Coen brothers' spy spoof.
I like that one.
And he was a lot of fun in that. So it's fun that he's able to kind of poke fun at the acerbic, weird characters that he's been known to play. So he's kind of the anti-Nicolas Cage.
With slightly more hair.
Slightly more hair and slightly
if
less debt.
Yeah.
So we'll... But no, it's, why else would you make Season of the Witch or National Treasure? And by the way, according to...
I like National Treasure.
I'm sorry.
Right there with
you. You know what astounds me? How does John Voight plus Helen Mirren equal Nicolas Cage? That's a weird gene pool. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just.
But that was a good movie.
It's good family fun.
Which family?
Oh.
Not mine.
None of
them. Not mine.
Not with the hate.
Oh, man.
Oh, so anyway, back to Red. Rent it. It's a lot of fun. Go check it out.
Now that was a good movie.
It was good. And also, now this is one, actually, no, we won't play the trailer for this, but it's worth checking out. It's a film called Nowhere Boy, and it's the story of teenage John Lennon growing up in Liverpool. This is pre-Beatles. Don't expect a cameo appearance by a kid who plays Paul McCartney. But it's not a Beatles movie. It's about John Lennon as a teenager. And as we find out, he was abandoned by his birth mother, who wound up living with the mother's sister, his aunt, played by Kristin Scott Thomas. Yes, I am so old. Kristen Scott Thomas is now the uptight aunt in English films. Whew, I miss the English Patient. With the film stars Aaron Johnson as John Lennon. You know him best known as Kick-Ass from earlier this year. And Anne-Marie Duff plays the mother who abandoned him. So when you're a 15-year-old boy who's got emotions that you don't know how to handle and trying to be a musician, and you're trying to figure out which household are you going to live in. So it really taps into the early psyche of John Lennon and how, well, how he turned out to be so much fun to live with as a member of the Beatles or as Mr. Ono. Yeah. So, but it's worth checking out. Really good performance by Aaron Johnson and everybody across the board. The other John Malkovich film coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, Secretariat, or as I like to call it, Diane Lane's Equus. Nobody saw Equus. That's okay. This is
blank stares.
It's really okay. Also, not to see with the ladies after dinner.
Okay.
But this is based on the true story of the racehorse from 1973 who won the Triple Crown and won it in Jordan-like fashion. Just an amazing horse story. Not to be confused with Seabiscuit, which is the other inspirational horse story a few years ago. This is directed by Randall Wallace, who gave us We Were Soldiers, Man in the Iron Mask. He also wrote Braveheart, among others. Diane Lane's in it, solid as usual. John Malkovich plays the trainer. Other familiar faces, Dylan Walsh, James Cromwell, Fred Thompson, apparently took a break from his talk show, and Scott Glenn also showed up. And Emma's going to kill me if I don't mention this. Emma Sosi, the kids film correspondent here at Film Sociology. We watched this the other night. This film also features Margot Martindale, also known as Hannah Montana's mother, grandmother from the Hannah Montana movie that we reviewed last year. So now this is a truly moving picture. So it has the Heartland Film Festival, Heartland Truly Moving Picture stamp of approval. It's a fun, inspirational film. The horse footage, not bad. If anything, it'll make you go on YouTube and watch the actual races, especially Secretariat at the Belmont. That's just a spectacle to see. The script does, and I have to credit Ed Johnsonot for this, it doesn't hit you over the head with a hammer. It hits you over the head with a cardboard tube. You know, one of those mailing poster tubes. So you get a little bit of message about Diane Lane's character having to take over the family house and the horses, and they're in debt.
Are there any disturbing animal scenes of any kind?
It's a Disney film with a truly moving pictures seal of approval. It's not Equus.
Okay.
What?
No guns.
What images do you know, say? What images do you
explosions? Factories. Alex, nothing like in True Grit. None of that.
No. Okay. And Alex Karras doesn't come up and punch the horse out either for you fans of Blazing Saddles. So, no. It's safe family fare. The horses live.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, play that.
Now that was a good movie.
All right. Got a couple other Blu-ray titles, and we'll talk about Indie Wine Fest in just a little bit. If you own a Blu-ray player, you might consider buying some of these. If they have a lot of extra goodies on them, because I don't feel like buying them again if it's just whatever. For instance, A Beautiful Mind, which won Best Picture, everyone's favorite crazy mathematician, Russell Crowe. Jennifer Connelly won an Oscar for that performance. Ron Howard, of course. Of course, Ron Howard directed a film you all didn't see because I told you not to. The Dilemma.
Still going to.
Well, that's nice. Enjoy that.
Support the Vince Vaughn. He does get a the in front of his name.
Enjoy Vince Vaughn's burning sensations because of that film. And you'll know what it means when you see it. You'll see. Also on Criterion, which I can't wait to watch again, one of the best films about journalism, Broadcast News from 1987. Yes. This is William Hurt as a good-looking but not too much upstairs news reporter. And you have Albert Brooks, who is the opposite, and you have Holly Hunter as the producer who is torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. It's directed by James L. Brooks, who, of course, gave us Terms of Endearment, and just a great look into the world, behind-the-scenes world of news and newscasters. And a love story to boot. That is one you could actually take the ladies to after having sangria by the pitcher. I didn't look at anybody when I said that. Not a date film, but also on DVD this week, Client 9, The Rise and Fall of Elliot Spitzer. Let's move on. Also on, way to
wow,
go, Elle.
Somebody wasted film on that.
Elliot, it's called Cash. No. Also on Blu-ray this week, The Color Purple. Not a date film. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Really good film. Don't know if it's a date film. And The Girl Who Kicked in the Hornet's Nest, or The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, or The Girl Who Wore Chains and Studs to Swedish Court. This is the third of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy. The first film was really good. Second, third, too bad. Also out on, yeah, also out on Blu-ray, Malcolm X. Yes. Thank you, Kobe. And Still Bill, a documentary about singer Bill Withers. Lean on Me, Use Me. Yes, that guy. Thank you. Now that song's stuck in your head. Glad to provide. And we need to raise a glass for German film producer, I hope I'm saying this right, pardon my German, Bernd Eichinger, who directed, among other things, well, he did do some films in Hollywood that, well, less than stellar, House of the Spirits, Body of Evidence, Millicent's Sense of Snow, Last Exit to Brooklyn, but he directed three films, all of which I actually own in my library and are worth checking out. One is Downfall, starring Bruno Ganz. That was a favorite of Kirk Butler's. He and I talked about this film many, many times. It's about the final days of Hitler. But it's riveting. You don't feel for the guy, but it's still riveting cinema nonetheless. He also directed The Name of the Rose, which was the 12th century monk detective mystery, murder mystery, with Sean Connery, Christian Slater, and F. Murray Abraham. Nodding your head, you remember when that was on HBO. Good. And the 1984 Wolfgang Petersen directed The Neverending Story. Yes, you can react out loud, Christina. It's
touchdown.
Okay. Yes, touchdown.
I was actually in the monastery where they filmed the Rose.
Were you?
I was in Germany.
Really?
Yes,
you were also.
It's in wine country.
Didn't
so
you
I
also
to be there.
The Riesling? Yeah, the Rieslings are lovely there.
That's a great segue.
That's pretty good.
True story.
Indeed, the Wine Fest is next week, and Jim Arnold from Conn's Fine Wines and Spirits is here. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great.
Thank you for
man.
Putting up with this silliness.
Oh no, and, this is great.
And employee group therapy, apparently.
I wish I'd seen more of these movies. I thought I watched a lot of movies, but apparently I don't.
I'm watching the wrong ones. As I come on the show, I find out I'm watching the wrong film.
Well, I think you're like watching this. The wrong films, apparently, but.
I'm gonna watch Rambo tonight with my son.
The latest
the
one?
Original one.
Oh, no, First Blood.
First Blood.
Okay,
we're
that's
watch,
a really
we bought the whole series.
Really?
Yeah,
wow,
so.
that's a lot of testosterone.
I know.
Are you gonna get Botox done like Sly, so your eyes eyebrows arch up like his?
Maybe not.
It's hard Jim to doesn't need it.
Maybe. No, he doesn't. He's virile. cover yourself in mud like in the second film.
But
I think First Blood is one of those films that you forget how good the first is because there's been sequel upon sequel upon sequel upon sequel.
Right. I actually seen them all already, but he wants me to watch it.
Of course he does.
He's my son.
How old's your son?
14.
The defense rests.
Perfect. There you go. Yes.
Then the mechanic and Red are probably right up his alley as well.
Right, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to remember that.
That's quite all right. So how things are ready for next week? You're ready
to
go?
I think so. I think that we've put together a heck of a show for this year and got a lot of great wines lined up. Much better lineup than last year.
Really?
Oh, I think so.
Cool. Well, what have you been drinking lately?
A lot.
No,
I'm kidding.
Quality versus quantity, folks.
No, I'm teasing.
Quality versus quantity.
It's all about food pairings with me, right?
So what are you doing?
So I eat a lot. So I can pair up. No, I'm kidding.
Just stand next to me if you think you're eating a lot.
No. You know what? There's so many great wines out right now, and I'm lucky in that when you say, what are you drinking, I truly do drink just about everything. I like good wine with good food and paired together properly. So I like everything from very dry, heavy-bodied red wines to light, fruitier white wines.
Give us a food-drink combo that you've had recently.
Last night we did fondue and dry white Chenin Blanc from South Africa. That was a very nice combination together.
You did a full fondue dinner or
we
or
did
chocolate?
Well, we're kind of Atkinsing. So we did cheese and we just did some meat and vegetables.
Fair enough. Cool.
Okay. That's great with the dry Chenin Blanc, which is fruity but yet dry.
Excellent.
Okay.
So what do we have in store? What else is that besides the appearance of all four of us at Indie Wine Fest?
Yeah.
Right.
As soon as the show's over.
Yep.
No. I think we're going to have a wonderful turnout. It's at the Indiana Roof Ballroom next Friday night. And last year, I think, we had a wicked snowstorm last year. I think we still had about 1,000 people come.
Yep.
And I think we have almost 70 tables of wine. So you definitely, and each table's got six wines on it. So there's plenty to choose from.
And I know Jim won't toot his own horn, but he has been such a wonderful friend to WFYI and really helped this event go to the next level with his experience and his knowledge of wines. And we just can't thank you enough, Jim, for all you do for WFYI.
Well, no, it's you know what? I'm a believer in WFYI, and I would never just say that. I'm not one of those people that
walking the walk. He's sitting in the chair.
Yeah, because he could have got up and gone a long time ago.
The whole Matt Soucy treatment. He is not making this up.
And by the way, this is his second time around this rodeo.
I tried to get out of this show. No,
wow. Man, because I thought I was going to get 60 minutes of berating from you. No. We appreciate that.
No, but we're going to have some nice prizes to give away.
And apparently some of us are going to be handing out tickets. This is what I've been told. So we are not prizes. We are, but not to you. Hello, ladies. Am I wrong?
Well, and we've actually have even some of the higher end wines in the connoisseur area that are available too. So there are a couple of different ticket options.
That's right. We have a $50 ticket for general admission, and we have a $100 ticket for the connoisseurs area, which compared to 2 years ago is a totally different animal
and a bigger glass.
In a bigger class. Really worth... No, I don't want to... There are great wines in the main room, too.
Oh, yeah, indeed. And I mean, there's plenty.
More than you could ever taste in one
evening. Lord knows we've... Well, not us. No, nobody in this studio.
Right.
Some have tried.
Yeah. And when you
Matthew
find what
challenged
you like.
Himself to try them all last year.
It got a little ugly in the hockey jersey, but when you find what you like, when you find what you like, Jim, they can make
purchase.
Their orders and place them there?
Yes. Everything on will be available to order that evening at sale prices lower than normally in the store.
See?
And Conn's is going to donate 25% of the proceeds back to WFYI.
What a deal.
So generous. Yeah.
It's a win-win.
So everybody wins. You get a sale. You get to taste great stuff. There's other activities going on. Come check it out.
And, of course, if you go to WFYI.org, there's also a deal where accommodations if things get really interesting.
Right, at the lovely Conrad Hotel.
At the Conrad.
Yeah,
so
right.
There you go. However, no gurney races. They don't approve of that. So
I didn't even know that.
But that they had gurney races?
Well, that you couldn't do it.
Well, let's move on, shall we? Kobe, hit your intro music quickly.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Okay, we got to keep it quick.
Yep.
You saw The Usual Suspects.
Loved it.
I am Kaiser Soucy.
Every second of it.
And The Friends of Eddie Coyle.
I said it once and I'm going to say it again. Things move slower in the 70s.
Things were better in the 70s, movie-wise. And you also survived the musical Tommy.
Yeah, that was just weird. A bunch of shots of Roger Daltrey leaning one way and looking confused.
And Ann-Margaret in baked beans.
Yeah.
And Ann-Margaret in baked beans. Doesn't do it for you as it does
no,
for me,
because,
does it?
See, you built it up.
She got a nomination for that, too.
You built it up, and I was thinking it was going to be something different, but...
Yeah. Fine. Well...
He's too young.
I'm trying here. Well, that being said, we've talked endlessly about hard-boiled cop action. So this week you are getting Serpico, because I'm the fat version of that. And you're also getting The French Connection and the Dirty Harry box set.
Awesome.
So you have to at least watch Dirty Harry, then Magnum Force. The others are strictly optional.
Okay.
So, all right. Winefest is next week. Jim Arnold, thank you for hanging out with us. Christina Tracy, you're really good sports, just
always
like my family.
We'll be back.
We know. I mean, get some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
So, until next week, as soon as the show's over, I'll be at Winefest joining y'all, giving out tickets. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Thank you.